And on the line now is the Deputy Prime Minister and Foreign Minister, Winston Peters. Mr. Peters, 3,700 people infected in Samoa and 53 people dead. These numbers are terrible. Did New Zealand give this outbreak to Samoa, do we think?
Look, that is speculation, and the answer is most probably not, but it doesn't help in the circumstances. This is a tragic situation for Samoa and the country. New Zealand deeply feels for them. They're dealing with a highly complex emergency in health, and the number of fatalities continues to rise, but the number of new cases presenting is beginning to drop, so we might be starting to get on top of it.
So obviously there are New Zealand nurses and doctors there. When did New Zealand first offer help to Samoa?
We offered help weeks ago and waited for the response from the Samoan government. I know that because I sent the communication myself.
When did you send it, Mr. Peters?
Oh, look, I can't give you the exact date, but I would think it's over 3 weeks ago.
And when did you hear back?
We didn't hear back until sometime later, but the moment we did, we had virtually had our medical teams ready to go. There are 54 medical professionals from New Zealand there right now, and all up 148 rotating personnel. And they've also ensured that they've got the level of vaccinations much more than they originally asked for. And in fact, we provided them with 15,000 vaccinations. So this is much more than they would have originally asked for.
So given the serious nature of the outbreak, do you think Samoa has acted quickly enough and quickly enough in asking for help?
Look, I can't say that. This is something to be analysed later on. Our major concern from day one when we heard about it was to make New Zealand's assistance available, and we did, in terms of both vaccination availability and personnel availability. We've got our teams over there where they're working as hard as they can. We've also, of course, funding through UNICEF 100,000 measles and rubella vaccines to Samoa. So it's a huge effort that's going in from New Zealand's point of view, and one can be, I think, grateful for the New Zealand people and their sense of shared concern about this tragedy.
We obviously have had our own measles outbreak, and it was at its peak several months before measles seems to have cropped up in Samoa. Did you talk to any Samoan officials when you knew of the outbreak in New Zealand, given that it was possible it would move to the Pacific Islands?
Well, first of all, this is a health matter and not for the Minister of Foreign Affairs. My job is to ensure, in terms of essential overseas aid at a critical time, that the resources were made available. Whoever talked at the time to Samoa would not have been in the responsibility of the Minister of Foreign Affairs. I'm not ducking the issue here. I'm just putting the responsibility where it would lie.
Mm. Are you aware of any conversations from any other ministries at the time of our outbreak, whether we spoke to Samoa about the potential threat to them?
I can't with exactitude answer that question, but I have a memory that conversations were going on. But the point is, if someone from Samoa in New Zealand, not vaccinated, goes back to Samoa, then whose responsibility is it? And does it help? No, it doesn't. The fact is now we've got a crisis and we need to deal with it.
Okay, in terms of dealing with that crisis, there seems to be not much in the way of information if you're flying out of the country, not even a flyer in the back seat, you know, of the plane when you leave. Do you think that vaccinations for people leaving New Zealand to go to Samoa, that it should be compulsory for them to be vaccinated?
Well, before you go that far, first of all, it's too late once you're on the plane because now you've got potential contamination on the plane itself.
But that's what I'm saying. Should it be compulsory to be vaccinated if you're flying from New Zealand to Samoa?
Well, rein that back and say, should it be compulsory to be vaccinated in this country, and that is New Zealand? If you ask my personal opinion, yes, we should be. It should be compulsory. It saves lives massively. And how come in a population much larger than ours in the United States, their rates of incidence of measles are so much less than ours? And we need to have a good hard look at ourselves on that score.
Are you talking to your government partners about compulsory vaccination?
Well, look, that's for the Minister of Health and others to determine. Of course, this conversation will go on because I think because of both the events in New Zealand and, dare I say it, Samoa, there'll be a far more intelligent, serious focus on this issue than hitherto there has been. Is it possible to say that we've not been as vigilant as we should have been? That's a fact. We haven't been. So let's own up to it. Instead of pointing fingers everywhere else, though, start dealing with the here and now crisis and the improvements towards the future.
So you said that that was your view, compulsory vaccination. You would support that. So as leader of the New Zealand First, is this a conversation that you're having with your government partners?
Well, right now, the conversation we're having is trying to deal with the emergency and providing the resources, in this case, 115,000 vaccines with respect to the Samoan population, and doing our best with the Samoan population and the health system and the government of Samoa to get the help to the people that need it as fast as possible, including going there next week with William Seale, the Minister for Pacific Affairs, to see whether we can do more and see what we're doing now and how far the help that we are giving is stretching in confronting the crisis.
Do you think we are doing enough at the moment?
This political conversation that you're somehow rather sadly focused on is for another day. Let's deal with people's crisis, the human crisis now, and start pointing the fingers when we get on top of the crisis.
So are we doing enough, New Zealand, to help with this human crisis right now?
Yes, we are. And we've offered this support well before the Samoan government responded. We made it very clear from day one, the moment we saw it, that we stood available to provide vaccines and personnel and medical professionals to help out. And we've not let our side down in that respect, and I'm proud of that.
So you wouldn't have done anything differently?
Well, it's very unwise to say you wouldn't do some things differently, because when this is over, there'll be a post-mortem, so to speak, in terms of analysis of what happened and what may have been handled better. Until we know that, it'll be premature to rush to judgment in some sort of lame duck political defence of oneself. It's not required at the moment.
Do you know what conversations were had with Samoa after the death of the two children last year over the misused vaccination there? Did we offer assistance at that time when the vaccination programme was suspended?
Yes, we did. In June, when that happened, two New Zealand nurses visited to review the standards and procedures followed by the individual district hospitals. They made recommendations on strengthening the immunisation programme and ensuring best clinical practice. I'm delighted to tell you, in the affirmative, we did act even that far back.
Has Samoa turned down any assistance from us?
No, we can't say that. And the speed of their request is for them to analyse in the future. But as far as New Zealand and the New Zealand humanitarian interests are concerned, I think this country has done all it possibly could.
Mr. Peters, on a different subject, the New Zealand First Foundation, you've repeatedly said that it's done everything according to the law. If the Electoral Commission or any other authority finds to the contrary, will you commit to shutting down that foundation?
Well, I've got good news for you, and it goes like this. All these matters are before the Electoral Commission and have been volunteered in the main by New Zealand First, and they're going to wait their judgment. And when we do, we'll find out, as I believe we will, that the law has been observed, that all the requirements of disclosure have happened, and then you'll have the delightful chance to fly a white flag and apologise to the country and, dare I say it, to New Zealand First.
But if the findings are to the contrary, will you commit to shutting the foundation down, Mr. Peters?
Yeah. In the meantime, you and I are going to be good people and be patient and wait for some facts, not fiction.
Okay. Well, I'm asking you for some facts, Mr. Peters. Do you remember being at a meeting in March 2017 where the board of directors at that meeting agreed to the concept of establishing the foundation? Do you recall being at that meeting, Mr. Peters?
Well, the answer to that question is I can give you a definitive answer now, but I was asked by the people that called my staff to come on and talk about a crisis of humanity where people have died in their schools, and sad to say, and I'm so disappointed, that you decided to listen to some...
Mr Peters, your staff will be aware we've been requesting an interview for 3 weeks, and as part of that interview, we were very clear about the fact we were going to ask about the foundation. So let's be clear about that, that we have not these questions were coming. So I'm wondering, were you at that board meeting, Mr Peters? Could you give me a yes or no on that one?
Of course I can give you a yes or no, but let me tell you...
Will you?
My two staff members are sitting in front of me, and they prepared me totally for this program. And what you're saying with respect to your diverging from the subject is simply, sadly, particularly because you're much more better performed than in the main, false.
It is not false, Mr. Peters, and I will continue to ask you, did you attend that meeting or not?
Oh, so you'd be happy for my staff to present the evidence.
Did you attend that meeting or not, Mr. Peters? Should we just stick with the question, Mr. Peters? If you're able to answer it, I would be really grateful if you could. Were you at that meeting or not?
Lisa, over-talking me is never going to succeed. The last time I had a conversation with you, I forecast the loss of your last job. You remember that? At the toll on the race course? Now, I don't want to be nasty about it, but I'm sad that you've so let your side down. I'm happy to answer that question.
Wonderful, thank you. Could I have the answer now?
I'll answer the question to the Electoral Commission, and when the Electoral Commission is independent, does its work, I'm happy to...
voters of this country, Mr. Peters? Do you not owe them just a simple answer to whether you were at that meeting when it was established that this foundation should go ahead? Were you there or not?
Well, look, don't act like a Philadelphia lawyer to me. Can I ask you by way of response? I'm happy to answer the question. If you could tell me why that is remotely relevant.
Mr. Peters, you seem to have distanced yourself from this foundation, so I'm just trying to explore whether you were there at its establishment. The second part of this was the documents that year contained a recommendation that you, as the leader of New Zealand First, select an appropriate legal advisor to develop the foundation. Did you select the legal advisor?
If I was in the Samoan families that have breathed now because of this tragedy, I regard your behaviour and your program's behaviour as really a serious denigration of the tragedy that they as a people face and as a nation face. And let me tell you, you might be prepared to forget about the humanitarian context of this conversation, but me, my office, my staff will not.
So you're refusing to answer any questions on the foundation, Mr. Peters?
I'm not answering to you because you're no judge and you don't know the law.
You're not...
That's clear as that.
Mr. Peters, why is it necessary for... That was Winston Peters, the Foreign Minister of New Zealand and obviously the leader of New Zealand First.